Larry Hart did not answer that question, but it dogged his presidential campaign all week, along with waves of reporters and photographers. At week's end, Hart declared his quest over, while attacking the system he says puts the focus on the individual, not the issues. Some journalists and Hart supporters are calling the whole affair a clear case of character assassination by the media, while others term it a character suicide. It was a front-page story in last Sunday's Miami Herald that knocked the Democratic frontrunner off stride. Acting on a tip, Herald reporters had staked out Gary Hart's Washington townhouse 2 days before and observed Hart entering his house in the company of a young woman.
The newspaper report goes on to say the woman spent Friday night and most of Saturday at Hart's townhouse. The reporters observed Hart and the woman leave the townhouse by a side entrance, supposedly walking arm in arm around the block and then to Hart's car in front of the townhouse. At one point, the Herald reporters approached Hart for an interview. Hart supposedly told them, quote, "No one was staying in my apartment. I have no personal relationship with the individual you are following." Her name is Donna Rice, a part-time actress and model from Miami. The honey blonde, brown-eyed woman appeared on NBC TV series Miami Vice late last year. Her resume lists small parts on three other network TV shows, Dallas, One Life to Live, and Texas. Both Hart and Rice have denied any romantic involvement.
You know, if there had been something fishy about the whole thing, I would have, believe me, been sneaking around. I mean, you know, that's why this whole thing is just so bizarre, and I can't believe it, because we were so open and upfront.
At first, the newspaper claimed to have watched Hart's home round the clock, but later admitted that reporters were not on the scene for 2 hours, from 3 to 5 a.m. Saturday. Reporters also did not watch the back door from midnight to 5 a.m., and the woman may have left the Hart's townhouse undetected.
We reported what we knew at the time, which is that we saw the woman, Donna Rice, leave with Mr. Hart shortly after 9 o'clock, return with him shortly after 11 o'clock, and that we did not see her leave the apartment at the time. And in fact, we saw neither of the two of them until sometime in the mid-evening on Saturday, when they again left the apartment in Washington.
Rice says she went to Washington because she was interested in working for Hart's campaign and called their weekend activities all very innocent. When asked by reporters if she had sex with Hart, Rice gave a flat no, saying she's attracted to younger men.
I'm really sorry to offend anyone here, but I'm very tired. I'm operating on about 2 hours of sleep. I've just met with some very good reporters. Everything is on the record.
Hart should not be surprised reporters are following him. In Sunday's New York Times Magazine, the presidential candidate is profiled on 11 pages. The story also includes a challenge Hart recently made to reporters. He apparently was attempting to put an end to the accusations that he was a womanizer. "Follow me around," Hart said. "I don't care. I'm serious. If anybody wants to put a tail on me, go ahead. They'd be very bored." The question of character has dogged Hart since he first ran for president in 1984. Just last month, he was profiled in Newsweek. John McAvoy, a key Hart advisor for 84, said this about Gary Hart. "He's always in jeopardy of having the sex issue raised if he can't keep his pants on." Hart has been married to his wife, Lee, for 28 years. There have been two separations, but she was there last month when Hart announced for president. Members of Hart's 1988 campaign staff have said repeatedly the womanizing issue is being raised now for political reasons.
"Did I make a mistake by putting myself in circumstances that could be misconstrued? Of course I did. That goes without saying. Did I do anything immoral? I absolutely did not."
Thank you. That was terrific. Gary Hart could use some applause, and that's what he got at a fundraiser that brought in $350,000. Among friends, Hart spoke in general terms about the controversy swirling around him.
"When I announced my candidacy last month in Colorado, I said that I would make mistakes. Now, I am here tonight to say this is one candidate who keeps his promises. But I'm here to tell you, as my friends, anyone who wants to test my character is in for a surprise. I may bend, but I don't break." because I'm doing what I believe is right. I can be bruised and I can be battered, but I'm going to come back because this fight must go on.
And most, but not all, Democratic supporters who had dished out $1,000 a plate were generally optimistic about Hart's political future.
I think it'll blow over. I think everything will be fine.
I don't think it'll affect it at all. I think by the time, the important thing is that he's head and shoulders above the field.
I think it's going to seriously wound his campaign in every respect because I don't think the media will let it go.
Earlier Tuesday, Hart was scheduled to make a speech on the economy before a group of newspaper publishers. But after what's been published lately about Hart and a part-time actress, he chose to tackle that issue head on.
Since the very first day I entered public life, I've always held myself to a high standard of public and private conduct, and I always will. But the events of the past few days have also taught me that for some of us in public life, even the most commonplace and appropriate behavior can be misconstrued by some to be improper. This just means that I have to raise my own personal standard even higher. Did I make a mistake by putting myself in circumstances that could be misconstrued? Of course I did. That goes without saying. Did I do anything immoral? I absolutely did not. This story was written by reporters who, by their own admission, undertook a spotty surveillance, who reached inaccurate conclusions based on incomplete facts, who, after publishing a false story, now concede they may have gotten it wrong, and who, most outrageously, refused to interview the very people who could have given them the facts before filing their story, which we asked and urged them to do.
We gave Mr. Hart and his associate, William Broadhurst, the opportunity to give their version of what happened, and we gave their comments prominent display in our initial story and headlines. Further, we asked Mr. Hart repeatedly to allow us to talk to the woman and to identify her. He declined. 2 hours later, as we prepared our story, we made the same request of Mr. Broadhurst, who refused to allow us to talk to the woman or to identify her at the time.
Even as Hart continued his speech, one of the main authors of the Miami Herald article told reporters the paper had tried to speak with the women involved before it went with its story.
Senator Hart's account of what occurred that night is inaccurate. It is totally false to say that we did not attempt or want to speak to the women. We implored him, we begged him to do it, and he flatly refused.
You're calling him a liar now, Mr. McGee.
I'm telling you what happened.
Following his statement, Gary Hart took a few questions from the audience. He tried to explain an overnight yacht trip to the Bahamas that included Donna Rice and her friend. Hart described the women as friends of his friend, William Broadhurst, and said they hadn't expected to stay overnight.
Customs was closed. The boat could not leave till the next morning. The guests on the boat stayed on that boat that night. My friend and I stayed on his boat. We left Bimini at something like 7 or 7:30 the next morning.
He tried to explain why he'd made half a dozen telephone calls to Donna Rice since they met in January.
She had offered to be involved and helpful in the campaign, particularly with friends of hers in the entertainment industry and fundraising in Florida as well as elsewhere, and was seeking information as to who she should talk to in the campaign.
Gary Hart's wife was not on hand for her husband's speech. She was back in Colorado suffering from what aides described as a sinus infection.
It has been urged upon me for political reasons that I should forthwith get her on an airplane and get her as close to me as she can. Now, I'm not about to do that because her doctor told her not to travel, and I am not into that kind of politics.
Did you vote for a presidential candidate who had committed adultery?
Gary Hart is followed by the press around every corner and down every hallway. He has made a point of answering every reporter's question, no matter how private.
Do you believe that adultery is immoral?
Yes.
Have you ever committed adultery?
I do not have to answer that question.
Hart has managed to stay cool under fire, but his anger sometimes seeps through.
Now, I'm going to insist that this be a fair system. You can ask me about adultery, you can ask me any question you want, and believe me, my wife and I have answered more personal questions than I think anybody in public life. and will probably have to continue to my regret. But I am going to demand this system be changed, and I have a right to demand it. And if somebody's going to follow me around, they better follow me around, and they better print all the facts.
Recent public opinion polls in New Hampshire show Hart taking a nosedive of more than 10 percentage points. Hart attempted to divert the harsh spotlight briefly. He delivered a foreign policy speech at Dartmouth College. Lee Hart, after spending several days in seclusion, met with reporters in Denver before flying on to New Hampshire to campaign with her husband.
Gary Hart's wife of 28 years made it clear to reporters in Denver she loves her husband and believes there was no indiscretion with 29-year-old Miami model Donna Rice.
I know Gary better than anyone else. And when Gary says nothing happened, nothing happened. The one thing I do know, especially about my husband, is that he does not lie.
She was seething with anger, though, at the Miami Herald and the news media in general for what she called a tremendous breach in journalistic ethics.
And I think that is something that I personally find outrageous. When a story was printed in a paper without the facts, and they were given the opportunity to find out those facts.
She conceded that the appearance of her husband with Rice at his Washington townhouse was not the best move politically.
If I may say so, if I could have been planning his weekend schedule, I think I would have scheduled it differently. I have never doubted him when he has told me something at any point in time. He said I did nothing. I know he did nothing. I have never questioned that. And in all honesty, if it doesn't bother me, I don't think it ought to bother anyone else.
Bye.
It was her first public appearance since the story broke Sunday morning. Hart told reporters she was tired and had been suffering from a severe sinus infection that had forced her to cancel her Tuesday trip to New York.
Late Wednesday, she joined him in public. The two left Dartmouth College alone. It was the first time they had been together since the Donna Rice story broke. With Gary Hart behind the wheel, they began the one-hour drive to the next campaign event. It was in Littleton, New Hampshire, that the public first saw them together at a town meeting.
I've already indicated that I have the bravest wife in the world. She is here today not only because she believes in me, but she believes in this country. And we're going to go forward and help lead this country together.
Hart left that town meeting apparently buoyed by the fact that none of the Littleton residents had asked him about the Donna Rice incident. But Hart abruptly suspended his campaign early Thursday, and he and his wife headed back to Colorado, to their home in the mountains near Denver. Hart left a statement saying he wished to spend some time with his family. The decision to halt the campaign came shortly after a reporter for the Washington Post handed a Hart aide what the Post describes as documented evidence of a recent liaison between Hart and a Washington woman with whom he has had a long-term relationship. In Friday editions, the Post quoted a senior Hart aide as saying the Post information accelerated the inevitable. Friday morning in Denver, Hart told reporters and his staff that his quest for the White House is over.
Now, clearly under present circumstances, this campaign cannot go on. I refuse to submit my family and my friends and innocent people and myself to further rumors and gossip. It's simply an intolerable situation.
Hart insisted the fault lay not with the candidate.
I've made some mistakes. I've said so. I said I would because I'm human. And I did. Maybe big mistakes, but not bad mistakes.
The problem, Hart insisted, lay within the system.
We're all going to have to seriously question the system for selecting our national leaders. That reduces the press of this nation to hunters and presidential candidates to being hunted.
It's the biggest story of the 1988 presidential campaign so far.
but the ethical questions surrounding the Miami Herald's reporting of the relationship between Gary Hart and Donna Rice might be bigger than the story itself.
I think a lot of people in the press are really confused because while we all claim with some justification that everything's fair game if you're talking about a presidential candidate, there's something about the specter of newspaper people staking out a house on a round-the-clock basis that gives a lot of us pause.
In the audience for Hart's speech Tuesday was the publisher of the Miami Herald, who defended the stakeout.
The thrust of this news story, whether it be in the Miami Herald or anywhere else in the country, remains that the public has a major interest in the integrity and judgment of a man who aspires to be president of the United States.
The question is, are they going to deal with all of the candidates in this way? Are we going to be the sex police? Are we going to stake out the bushes in front of every candidate's house all the time?
Gary Hart was put on plain public notice that his sexual habits were a matter of some concern to voters. The issue came up in 1984, as you know. If it turns out, and I underline if it turns out, that he disregarded that warning and was not able to discipline himself, I think that's a matter of legitimate concern for people about a potential president of the United States.
But ABC media critic Jeff Greenfield says it's not as easy as all that.
But I'll tell you this, I think of the next several years worth of journalistic conventions and meetings are going to be dominated by just this theme. Provided you agree that the subject is okay, what about the methods in getting it? And I think none of us really know the answers to that.
I think this is legitimate news coverage. The Miami Herald acted on a tip. They weren't staking him out as a regular matter. They reported a legitimate news story about a presidential candidate who is married, who was with another woman.
I could not disagree more. I don't think you got any business watching a guy's bedroom.
Media critic and former State Department spokesman Hodding Carter says the methods used were legitimate.
Does the concept of a stakeout bother me? It can be grossly abused. It was not grossly abused in this case.
Frankly, if I were in public office today, following this incident, and considered the possibility that somebody would stake out my home on a 24-hour basis, 7 days a week, I'd feel very upset about that.
Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist Murray Kempton likens the stakeout to wiretapping.
My view of this is perfectly simple. I hate the whole idea of wiretaps. I always read them.
And the public is reading all about this case, whether or not they think it's fair.
I think it's a bunch of nonsense. I'm not sure really what's going on or what Gary's doing. I guess I believe in presuming innocence until proven guilty.
When you're a political candidate and a national figure, you have to be beyond reproach.
It's his very private life. I have no right to interfere, especially not the press.
I think there are some maybe fine lines to be drawn, as I think as Senator Hart has said, if you're going to do it, it ought to be complete. I think once we stand up and indicate that we're going to be a candidate or are a candidate for the presidency of the United States, all bets are off.
The journalistic ethics of this case will likely be long debated.
I intend to seek the presidency of the United States in 1988.
Senator Gary Hart announced his 1988 presidential intentions on April 13th with a more substantive image than the one he carried into the 1984 presidential campaign. He had battled and put behind him the wounding question posed by Walter Mondale.
When I hear your new ideas, I'm reminded of that ad, "Where's the beef?"
Yeah.
And he had weathered the barbs about his cool and inaccessible personality. But the one issue that dogged him until it finally brought him down was the issue of his character. His name change from Hart Pence to Hart and the fudging on his age became the subject of scrutiny, but rumors about his interests in other women have plagued him since he ran George McGovern's campaign in 1972. Reports of his dates with other women while he and his wife Lee were separated continued to raise eyebrows.
Things that are important to us aren't important to him. I mean, this is a guy who lied about his age. When his name change came up, he blamed his dead mother and never did explain why he changed his name. He doesn't deal with truth the same way the rest of us do. And so he's disqualified himself.
As a senator, Hart has been known as a loner, taking strong positions on defense policies and economic issues.
There were times when I may have abandoned my party's line when it was stuck in the past. But in resisting protectionism and the foolishness of Graham Rutland, I tried to uphold my party's principles when some Democrats were abandoning them.
Gary Hart's rise in politics was meteoric. He grew up from the political unknown to McGovern campaign manager to Democratic front runner in the 1988 presidential campaign in little more than 12 years. Now suddenly, those 12 years of careful planning and bolstered aspirations have fizzled in a matter of days as Gary Hart pulls out of the race.
I would say to the young people of this country, the torch of idealism burns bright in your hearts. It should lead you into public service and national service. It should lead you to want to make this country better. And whoever you are and whatever you do in that cause, at least in spirit, I will be with you. Thank you very much.
The Hart Stakeout, the big story this week. This is Don Miller, CNN.